podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to the UCL Fantasy Podcast, where Edward is still away on holiday, thank goodness. So you will be here with me and Lewis going through your match day 4 preview, where we'll go through all of the best picks, some differentials, what to do if you're using a limitless wildcard, all of that coming up on the UCL Fantasy Podcast. Lewis, so we're fresh, hot off the heels of doing our match day 3 review, where it was all rainbows and sunshine for you and doom and gloom for me, and literal sunshine for Ed, as although he had an absolute stinker, he is somewhere in Cyprus living it up in style, I imagine much, much warmer than I am in my little house in Newcastle. Lewis, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Yeah, it's a good idea. It's quite a good idea, that, isn't it? Booking a holiday when you've had a good day week. He's done well there.
He has. Well. He's a cheeky sod, isn't he? It's like, oh, I've been given these two crap for the last few weeks. So the first time it goes wrong to the wife impromptu. Oh, do you fancy going to Cyprus, love?
2 week holiday.
Yeah, I bet she wishes he had a terrible disaster of a week every week.
Not sure if 2 weeks was necessary.
He'll be skint if he's if he has any more shockers. I wonder if he does this for FPL.
Yeah, he probably does. He's always away, Ed. Literally, it feels like he's always away.
I mean, I do envy him sometimes, but hopefully, if I have another bad week, I'll have to just book myself a holiday. Lewis, we do have some business to attend to, though. There are people that are going to want to know what on earth to do, what sort of chips they should be playing at this point. I feel it's best to assume that maybe some people have all of them, some people have none of them, and some people have just got one of them. It's going to be very, very tough. So I think as we go through these, it's probably best if we do consider it from all angles. But I'm going to let you do much of the brunt work today, as I am the host. And as we all know, Ed does nothing except for speaking a Jeremy Clarkson-style voice. So I'll try and do that whenever possible. Let's roll straight into goalkeepers, Lewis. What are we thinking? Because obviously the goalkeepers are the same as match day 3. It's the same fixtures, except for home and away. What ones do we think are going to benefit from having a home game opposed to an away game this week?
Yeah, the fixtures are awkward again, aren't they? Match day 4, you know, the same sort of, well, the same fixtures bar, obviously, home and away. Very similar to last week. I've got Ter Stegen at Barcelona, although slightly less kind of convinced at that pick this week because they are away and Shakhtar Donetsk looked quite handy. There is Diogo Costa, who plays at home this week for Porto. Obviously, they're playing Antwerp. Porto have kept a couple of clean sheets in the last few matches in all comps, so they are showing some signs of solidity at the back. It's worth mentioning that Justin Bigelow is back, so Vallenhoefer is not an option anymore at Feyenoord, is he? So Bigelow played the latest Champions League match, and he also played the latest league match, so yeah. Vallenhoefer is not an option. Edison, he plays at home with Man City. We know Man City are considerably better at home. He obviously costs $6 million, though. So,
will he play? I mean, we've seen Ortega come into games, whether that be Champions League, whether that be the Premier League. Pep is a menace. No one is safe from the cull, except for Haaland.
Well, yeah. I mean, There is that. I mean, you could, like I said, we and you discussed the whole Riznik situation, didn't we, last week, where, you know, those that are on a kind of like a wild card or something like that, or just have no transfer or just have transfers, they could probably kind of keep Riznik in. Yes, he plays Barcelona. away from home, but you kind of have the batter keeper playing on the Wednesday anyway. So
yeah, and you never know with, like, it's one of those where he could save a ton of shots. I'm sure he didn't do too well last week. Didn't do too badly last week despite conceding. He's going to be saving a lot of shots away at Barcelona. You might actually be a bit of a headache as your Tuesday keeper, because you might get like a four pointer. And you're like, oh, what do I do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't think of that actually. So Wednesday's a little bit better. Wednesday's much better actually. So obviously Napoli play at home. We saw them a little bit more solid with Rurami back at centre back, and so they play Union Berlin. I think we mentioned on the last pod that Union Berlin have actually lost all the last 11 matches. That I think they failed to score in a lot of them as well. So
yeah, is that now 12 or 13? Because they've not improved since the last podcast.
Yeah, it's not ideal for Union Berlin, but it kind of makes merit potentially an option at 5 mil. Obviously, he's cheaper than Di Lorenzo. But I think there's a couple of standouts. So Alex Romero at Sociedad, he's 4 million now. So he's getting to the point where he's becoming a really interesting option. And that's instead of Sommer as well, because Sociedad have actually kept two clean sheets in the Champions League. Yes. You mentioned on the last pod that Inter aren't keeping as many clean sheets as we hoped. So I think if you're looking for 5.5 million, then would a downgrade from Sommer to Alex Romero be too much of a bad decision? I'm not too sure.
I don't think it's a bad decision at all. I think it's a good decision. I think they're looking like the best team in the group. I think to save 0.5 million, it's a no-brainer. It allows you to keep Dumfries. I said in the last podcast, I don't think in double or triple ups in defence. And when I say defence, I include the goalkeeper in that. I include it in more so the games sense of, like the actual football sense of the word, opposed to this fantasy game sense. So because of that, I think if you can save 0.5 million and go for it, because I don't think there's any Sociedad defenders particularly that like really scream out. And he does make some saves as well. I think he's a good buy. I think that's a really good shout, mate. You're right. You've got to swap out some if that is the case, because you can't have two keepers playing. Well, I mean, you can have two keepers playing on the same day, but it's absolutely worthless. Double up on the 4 million goalkeepers is what it sounds like.
Well, yeah, I was just about to say that, because if you've got a wild card and you're like, right, I want to use it, then yeah, I'd quite happily go with Riznik and Romero, both at 4 million, 8 million on goalkeepers. You're bound to get a couple of clean sheets eventually. And again, like you said, an extra 0.5 elsewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd bet my house on Atletico Madrid keeping a clean sheet this week, where after they've just conceded two away, everyone will be tossing them away. I can just see it happening. That being said, I would not recommend anyone buy Jan Oblak.
I tell you what, I watched the Celtic game and they absolutely battered Atletico for like large periods of the game. Obviously, they're at home. Celtic are much better at home, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah, yeah. They look so handy, though, going forward, Celtic.
I think when you're looking at the reverse fixture, I just think it screams 1-0 Atletico Madrid. It's just one of them. And Celtic sort of come away a little bit gutted that they couldn't have done more. We'll move into defenders, Lewis. So, I mean, we've had some questions already on the previous podcast. So if you want to know what to do with DeMarco, please go check that one out. But are there any, first of all, we always go for, you know, what sort of defenders should we get? So I think we'll probably need to look at this one from a limitless perspective, from a wild card perspective, but also, are there any defenders that people are likely to have that you think they should not have? Who should people be bidding on?
Yeah, I'll just go through. So as we mentioned on the last pod, Koundé looks like he's back for Barcelona. He's kind of yet to play, but I think if he plays on the weekend, then he's very well. If he starts on the weekend, he's going to start, isn't he, in the Champions League? So I think 5 million, it's not bad, is it? You know, considering Barcelona, they've kept 2 clean sheets out of 3. I mean, if you needed the money, you could even downgrade Cancelo, get an extra 1.5 million, 1 million, sorry. So you've got a whole million spare there. And
I think
because Cancelo didn't.
I think for his fixtures as well, it's not just this Donetsk game. Porto at home opposed to away, I like. And Antwerp, whether it's home or away, I like. So I think having Koundé is a really good pick. And then obviously you just about to talk about Cancelo there. I think they're both fantastic. But yes, continue.
Yeah, it was just saying basically that if the people did really need money, then I don't hate the downgrade from Cancelo to Koundé. That's providing, you know, that he's actually going to start the next game. So I won't kind of dwell on that too much. Newcastle are difficult. I watched the Newcastle game and it was every Newcastle game I watch is just pure entertainment. It's so hectic. Like, they're just nuts, aren't they? As a Newcastle fan, like, you do not watch it and think this is nuts.
Sometimes it's wild. It's a wild time to be a Newcastle fan. It is really exciting. You never quite know how we're going to turn up. We turn up in 45-minute patches, like halves, and it's like we could be terrible for 45 minutes and then unbelievable the next 45 minutes, or vice versa, or brilliant for both 45 minutes. I think for that Dortmund game, we were pretty poor in the first 45 minutes and average in the second 45. I thought they were worth the win, although I do think second half we probably could have nabbed a draw. I don't think Newcastle are a headache at all. We have 2 away fixtures and we're a better home team than away team. And that home fixture is that we do have left is the last game of the group stage. If you want a Newcastle player, wait until a match day 6 punt when we are at home to AC Milan and we might actually have a few more players fit. If I would absolutely not go near Newcastle players away from home at Dortmund after seeing how the team's played at St. James's Park. Yeah. And I think I said at the beginning of the group stage that I expected us to maybe get a draw against PSG at home, but I did think that they would beat us away. Even though we give them a good hiding at St. James's Park, I still don't think away to PSG is a game that I'm comfortable to say, oh yeah, I think we'll win. I think if we can get a draw in that game, that would be an unbelievable result for us. So, as a Newcastle fan, I would say stay away from us. Our time's happened. The next opportunity to get a Newcastle player will be when we play AC Milan at home.
Yeah, 100%. So, kind of just to confirm, like, would you sell a Newcastle defender if you had one?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, it depends on your other fires, but yes.
Yeah.
Here's a question, Lewis. After what you saw against AC Milan, PSG and Dortmund, do you think we will keep a clean sheet against Dortmund away and Paris Saint-Germain away?
Well, probably not, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And you're not wrong. You're absolutely right.
So just to kind of carry on with the defenders, I've noticed, so Porto obviously have that home game this week. And I've noticed, and this might make you laugh or scream inside, but David Carmo.
Goodness me, we're back here, are we? Am I on a time loop or something? It's just me and you on a podcast. Ed's gone and we're talking about David Carmo.
He's a nightmare, isn't he? But
he's one word for him.
he's 4 million. He's been starting. What is funny? I suppose it's funny that he got a red card in one of his league games, which is a classic Carmo, isn't it?
It's absolute vintage David Carmo.
Oh God! But yeah, I think the Feyenoord defenders might not be too bad in terms of picks either. I've personally owned Kwilinski, Hartman. We know he plays left wing back for country. He's picked up 4 attacking returns this season. Uh, he Could be nice.
Love that shout.
Yeah. Really like him. There's Gertrude Eder as well. He was playing right back, but he's now playing centre back. But that doesn't seem to kind of affect him going forward. He kind of loves to get forward. He's scored recently. He's got as many attacking returns as Hartman as well. So he could be an interesting shout against Lazio. It'd be rough not to mention
that as well. 4.5 million for Feyenoord defenders. Now that they have their, I think the most valuable thing is what you mentioned earlier, Lewis, is that they have their first choice goalkeeper back.
Yeah.
And they've been the best team in this group, I think, quite comfortably. Results aside, whatever's happened, I just think when I watch them, I am impressed by them. I don't know if this week is the week to get them away to Lazio, but it's home to Atletico Madrid after we saw what Celtic did to them. And then away to Celtic might be a bit rough, but for 4.5 million, I think Gertrude and Hartman are two great picks.
Yeah, it's exactly that, isn't it? It's kind of that price bracket, isn't it? You know, that 4.5, it's quite hard to find a decent option. So I think if you're looking around that bracket, then yeah, I'd probably go for that. And while we're covering that bracket, obviously, you've got the likes of David Raum and Heinrichs. Raum scored the game after he scored in the Champions League, so he seems to be on some sort of little run at the moment. They've both Heinrichs and Raum have managed 7 attacking returns this season, so they still feel like equally good options. But I just
You say they feel like equally good options, but one of them got 13 points last season, one of them got 0. And if anyone that listened to the last pod, everyone will know which one I owned and got rid of to get the other.
Yeah, and I say that, and as a Raum owner, you know, I think what edges Raum, what gives Raum the edge, is the fact that he's obviously on corners, but he's also playing predominantly on the side that Xavi Simons is playing on. He likes to roam towards the left, Xavi Simons, and they seem to have this.
Ooh, was that a little pun from you? Was that a little pun from you there, Lewis? I like it.
So yeah, they seem to have a good connection at the moment, which is really important, because if you're trying to pick between the both and you want a wild card or a limitless, because again, we can use limitless as a free hit, can't we, this season? I'd probably, you know, edge towards Raum. There's a couple of obvious options, you know, the likes of Di Lorenzo. Napoli look a lot stronger at home. He didn't look as attacking against Union Berlin as he did against Braga and Real Madrid, weirdly. But he is at home this time. So
yeah.
I think, and obviously he's got the centre-back back, the main centre-back. Another interesting point is, just to kind of go off, Naitan, the Brazilian centre-back for Napoli, he's dropped in price to 4.4 million. But he's also been starting most of their games, or all of their recent games. So
is Jesus likely to be returning from injury anytime soon?
I think he was on the bench recently.
Because he only came out because he was injured, didn't he? So I think as soon as he is fit, he'll be coming in for him anyway. And I think we'll get back to him and Rahmani as the two centre backs.
Yeah, so I'm not too, obviously they've got Ostergaard as well, but yeah, no,
yeah,
I don't.
Think yeah, true.
So it's difficult, but yeah, I mean, if there's still no sign of Juan Jesus, then could be a decent pun, I suppose, at 4.4. We're gonna have to mention the Sociedad defenders as well.
Yes,
obviously, but yeah, I mean, they're ticking on, aren't they? You know, we're looking in that 4.5 million bracket.
And who's the one to go for, Lewis? Like,
so
Sociedad defenders, you know, I say to you, right, Lewis, I'm going to give you 3 free transfers this week. One of them has to be to bring in a Sociedad defender. Which one do you bring in?
I think I'd probably go for Hamari Traore.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's the right back. He's not amazingly attacking, but I'm pretty sure he's managed around 20 ball recoveries in the last 3 games, which is the highest. He's also the highest scoring defender amongst all their defenders. So yeah, he just seems to be ticking away with clean sheets, and he just seems to be a bit of a ball recovery magnet as well. Obviously, ball recoveries fluctuate, don't they? You know, you never know. Yeah. But I just think at 4.5 million, you know, and there's not a lot of options at 4.5 million, as you'll know. I just think Kamari Traore, 4.5 million, lots of ball recoveries. I mean, it's hard. He's an easy option to go to if you're looking cheap.
Yeah. I'd say, just to be different, I'd go for Munoz.
Yeah, left back.
Yeah, he's had more ball recoveries in the last two games. His issue was he only played 28 minutes in that first game against Inter Milan. That was his issue, which is why he's got less points than Traore. But they would both otherwise have the same amount of points. But in the last two games, he's had more recoveries than Traore. They're still the same amount of points because obviously you have to get three recoveries to get a point. That being said, I think they're both excellent picks. At home to Benfica, who, I mean, is Angel Di Maria still injured for them as well?
I'm pretty sure he is, they're just not great, are they, at the moment?
No, I agree. They look and just feel pretty toothless at the minute, Benfica. We'll wrap up the defenders there and we will take a break and we'll be back with everyone shortly.
It's just worth mentioning that Di Maria is back now and he scored in his latest game. I've just remembered, so it could be worth
there keeping on. Then.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's not the best time to bring in a Sociedad defender. But I mean, I suppose it's food for thought. And with that bombshell, we will go into a very brief break. Welcome back to the UCL Fantasy Podcast. You're here with me, Daniel, and of course, the real expert on the show, Lewis. Lewis, we've been through our goalkeeper and defender picks for the upcoming game weeks. We're going to move very swiftly into midfield. Midfielders have flattered to deceive a little bit. I think we've had some players that haven't quite hit the heights that we were expecting, whether that be from match day one or how we felt before the competition started. I'm looking at you, Leroy Sané. Has there been any particularly big disappointments for you so far, Lewis? Players that you expected to do better, and are those players you're willing to give another chance to, or do you think we need to move on?
That's annoying, isn't it? There's quite a few disappointing midfielders this season. I think what the issue was at the start of the season, there wasn't many. It felt like there wasn't many great options in midfield. And then everyone had a really great match day one in midfield. And then we thought, okay, now there's loads of options. But as soon as match day two came, it was like, okay, there's not many options again. You know, the players like Saka, Bruno Fernandes, Odegaard, who else? Thuram as well at 6.5, other than his goal. It's not been great, not starting. Yeah, I just feel like there's been a lot of midfielder picks who just haven't done that well. Olmo obviously being injured, it just seems to be a bit of a random position this year, midfield.
Yeah, I've been disappointed with Arsenal midfielders. I just don't think. I think obviously after that first game as well against PSV, and you thought, wow, I mean they're gonna roll some teams over, and it's just not really materialised. I think fitness has been a big factor in that. Saka just hasn't looked fit. Odegaard looks like he struggled at times. I think the midfield area is one that I'm particularly unhappy with my team. So hopefully you're going to be here to save my bacon. Obviously, Jude Bellingham is a mainstay in everyone's team. I do not think we need to mention that boy's name. If you don't have him in, only 21% of the game don't have him in. I think he's the highest owned player in the game. Other 21%, what are you doing? You must have stopped playing already. Who should we be looking for, Lewis, in midfield this week?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few to get through this week. So I'm going to start with punts, differential, a punt. And it could potentially be Fermin Lopez. So obviously, we know Barcelona have got a couple of players back. Lewandowski's coming back. But fortunately, we've got a game on the weekend to see how Barcelona line up. I couldn't believe his price when I saw how much he was. So Fermín López, an attacker, cost 4.4 million.
Unreal.
He picked up a 15-pointer against Shakhtar as well, but he also started against Real Madrid, which shows kind of, you know, how much the manager believes in him. So I think if you're, I think obviously keep an eye on that Barcelona game on the weekend. If he starts then he's probably got more of a chance of starting. I just think at 4.4 million, and he's a great player, by the way. He was ridiculous against Shakhtar the other day.
Reminds me of like a young Guti. If anyone remembers him from Real Madrid during the Galacticos era and prior to that, he was like just like a ridiculous football player.
Yeah. It just seems to be like an all-around of us. I think at 4.4 million, worth keeping an eye on. Again, I just want to highlight Galano, potentially injured. Well, he is injured. We're not too sure if he's going to come back for that Champions League game. Again, we've got a game on the weekend, so it could be worth keeping an eye on. But if he doesn't feature at all in that game on the weekend, then I think he could potentially be a sell. We head into Feyenoord. I think they're nice and cheap, aren't they, the Feyenoord attackers? Nice and cheap. So I have got a holding midfielder, Quinton Timber. I know we don't like holding midfielders, but sometimes we do in Champions League fantasy. He costs 5 million. He's really good with ball recoveries. But what is interesting, though, is that he's picked up 6 attacking returns this season. So a lot more than his counterpart, I think it's Wefa, or I could be getting mixed up there. But yeah, either way, Quinton Timber at 5 mil. Why not? Stengs is obviously the standout, isn't he? 6.2 million. Champions League returns and 11 attacking returns all season. Kind of still a bit gutted. I missed that first Stengs return. Did you have Stengs in that first week?
No. I mean, wasn't it really lucky? Was it like a really lucky return?
Yeah, it was a really like dodgy free kick. But he's looked really good.
He got an assist last week, did he? Was that what he got?
Yeah, got an assist, and he to be honest, he looks really lively in the games as well. So I think if you kind of needed money or downgrade, maybe, I don't know, a Thuram or a Galano, then going down to Stengs.
I like the idea of downgrading Thuram to the 4.4 million Barcelona midfielder to then upgrade strikers so that you can afford him. And I appreciate we're going into strikers, but Jimenez, and then because I don't have Haaland, but obviously I imagine most people have got Kane and Haaland anyway, so you can go Kane, Jimenez and Haaland. So I really like that sort of play. I think that's a good idea.
Gives you a lot of money as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does give you a lot of money.
It's worth mentioning Leipzig. Olmo, again, mentioned it on our most recent pod that he's got a dislocated shoulder. Expected to be back next year sometime, but I think obviously the standout again is Simons. I'm pretty sure we're probably going to get a big price rise for him in the match day coming up as well. Potentially 12 point. See, I remember having a chat with you and Ed recently, and Simons went off the boil, and I remember saying he had like a 7-match, you know, kind of run where he didn't pick up anything, but he seems to be, you know, back in form now, and he's doing really well domestically over the past few games as well, good in the Champions League. So I think, you know, if you haven't got him, I'd probably get him in even with City next.
Big.
Yeah, I mean the issue with not bringing him in is obviously he's got a good game in matchday 6 as well, isn't he? Hasn't he?
And yeah,
I could be wrong, but I think Xavi Simons has played every single Leipzig game. I'd have to double check if he's missed a recent cup match. I think they lost in a recent cup match. And I know he did start. So, yeah, I think he just seems to be like solid in terms of like minutes and stuff. So yeah, Xavi Simons, obviously Kvaratskhelia at Napoli as well. You look at that Union Berlin side at the moment, and they are awful. They've conceded two or more goals in seven of their last 10, which is something you kind of want to attack looking forward, really. I think with Kvaratskhelia, he's got that player of the match ability in him, hasn't he? You know, where you just watch a game.
I think did he not get one in the last game? Was he the one that picked it up?
I think he did, didn't he?
Because I had him. Yeah, he did. He only picked up an assist, and he got player of the match.
He was ridiculous. Like, you know, when you just watch a play, it's similar to Bellingham, and you watch England and they play anyone and look at Bellingham and think he's the standout here. He's going to get man of the match and whatever. It feels like that with Kvaratskhelia. And I just think he's got that extra flair and stuff to nail down the player of the match if the game's a bit boring or it's not going anywhere. So he's picked up 6 attacking returns in his last 5. So he has now hit nice little run of form. It's just his price, isn't it? I think is it 9.5? It's very awkward.
Massive. It's basically, I think in your midfield, you're going to have Bellingham, and then I think you can afford 2 premiums in there, maybe. Especially if you're going for the 4.4 million midfielders. And I think the premiums that you've got to choose from moving forward are going to be Saka or Odegaard, because Arsenal have 2 home fixtures, and Arsenal are a much better home team, and Saka has much better numbers at home than away. I actually don't really back him in away games. I am tempting fate because Arsenal are away to Newcastle this weekend. Of course I am. But just generally, you can still obviously score away, but generally, if you look at how many attacking returns he gets at home versus away, there's a stark contrast. You obviously have Bayern Munich with Sané and Coman most likely being the 2. And then you have Kvaratskhelia, and you can only afford 2 of them. I think that's probably about it in terms of where, because I'm not interested in any of those other Man United premium midfielders. I'm not interested. I mean, Inter don't even have any premium midfielders, to be honest. I'm not interested in Man City's premium midfielders, just purely because with Bernardo Silva back, we have no idea who's going to play. Rodri's back, Bernardo Silva's back. Cunha and Phillips have played minutes this season. You have you've got Doku, Foden, Alvarez, who despite a forward, plays in midfield. You've got Bernardo Silva. You've got Jack Grealish. There's just too much. I mean, John Stones is playing back in midfield from his defensive position as he moves in. So I just don't fancy guessing the Man City team. Although, if you guess correctly, obviously against young boys,
yeah,
I think you've got a great chance. Maybe that's obviously, I think on a limitless wild card, I'd probably take a punt on a City player. Maybe.
Maybe
a Doku or I think Bernardo Silva. But yeah, other than that, there's no real premium midfielder to go through. So I think it's those. So who do you, let's say you're allowed 2, Lewis. You've got a blank slate. You go on limitless, not limitless, but let's say you're allowed 2 of them. You go Kvaratskhelia, Sane, Coman, Odegaard, Saka. Which 2 of them 5 do you pick?
I think Sane has to be a lock on any chip, to be honest. But after Sane, obviously Jude Bellingham is a shoe-in, isn't he? In the midfield, anyway. But
yeah,
I haven't
put Bellingham in there just because everyone does have him, and he's only 7.8.
Yeah,
so he's not like anywhere near the 9.5s. I mean, even then, I've said Coman. I think Coman's only 8.
So I do really like Coman. Coman seems like a nice shout, doesn't he? Because Tuchel seems to prefer Coman at the moment. Musiala, Coman, Sane, and Kane as a front 4. It seems that way, anyway.
Yeah, I think that's probably their best front four, given Muller's age and Gnabry's injury slash, you know, sort of coming out of form. I think that's a fair assessment of their front four.
I think if I was on a limitless, I would probably go for a double up. I'd probably go for a buy and triple attack, which I know sounds ridiculous. But Sane, Koeman and Kane on a limitless, I'd be quite happy with that going into the Galatasaray game, yeah.
Is there any other midfielders that you are really screaming out here, or should we move on to forwards now?
That just a couple more midfielders briefly. It would be hard not to mention the Real Sociedad midfielders and the value that they're offering at the moment. Obviously, I own Bryce Mendes, who, you know, he takes corners. He's returning all his Champions League matches. He's got 9 returns this season. Just seems to be their kind of like talisman. He reminds me a bit like Bruno Fernandes. Reminds me a bit of Bruno Fernandes. He looks quite similar too as well, which is weird, but a lot shorter. He's definitely feels like the talisman in the team anyway. But, you know, it'd be hard not to mention that Ander Bernaccia, who's 4.5 million. I think he's got 2 back-to-back assists in his last 2. He's a winger. He gets in the box a lot. He also scored 3 goals in his first La Liga games. So he's a good... Do you know what? Sorry to go on a tangent here, but they've given us a lot of great value players this season, haven't they? And the most annoying thing is that the premiums aren't that great.
Yeah, so I agree.
Yeah.
I definitely think you could go for Bellingham, 1 premium, 3 really, you know, like a Mendes.
Xavi Simons,
and then 1 of the 2. Obviously, you've said Bernaccia, the Barcelona midfielder. You've got... Or you could go for Stengs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously we've had Thuram, who I still think Thuram's great value. It's just obviously because he has been playing really well, he is getting prioritised 4 league games. You're absolutely bang on, which makes that the issue. But yeah, I think you could definitely go for a fairly cheap old midfield and then allow you to have Cancelo at the back, plus Di Lorenzo, plus Dumfries, and then probably 2.5 premiums up front, like a Haaland, Kane and Jimenez, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyone else before we move on to forwards?
No, that's it. That's it.
Magic. So let's get on to forwards. I don't think we need to talk about... Even I'm going to try and bring Haaland in this week. That's how much I think everyone's about Haaland. We've already talked about Kane. Yeah. We briefly touched on Jimenez. But just to talk about him, obviously he got his brace and he had a goal disallowed and he just scores in every sodden game.
God, he was unreal in that game.
Yeah, he's so good. I think that he's a fantastic pick at 7.5 million. Oppenda is likely to score because I'm not going to have him this week. That's so, you know, you can bet your house on that. Lever, I don't know if he's fully back yet, but still, I still think those games, with how Barcelona don't play at his style anyway, and I think with 2 away games, the home game against a fairly solid Porto team, I do think Barcelona will win the game, but it's like, who's going to get the goals?
Yeah.
For a team that just don't play at his style, I honestly can't see him even being there like next season with how they've sort of adapted without him.
Yeah.
There'll be some people going for Alvarez. I still think Alvarez could be obviously a good pick. Morata at home to Celtic after what he did in the like previous games. Away to Feyenoord would be tough, but then home to Lazio. I think Morata is probably the second best. A 7.5 million budget? I was saying there. Are they mid-priced?
Kind of mid-price, I suppose. But if you look at the midfielders at that price, Morata probably stands out, doesn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely does. So there's also, I mean, I've actually not checked his price. So let me just quickly check, because there is one player that I haven't quite had a chance to look at yet. So I'm just searching for him now. Just for midfielders as well, quickly, Zaha scored a brace tonight. That we're recording on Friday night, just for anyone that was wondering when I said tonight. But yeah, 6.4 million forward, Eddie Nketiah.
Ooh, hello, that's a nice one.
Well, with Gabriel Jesus being out for a little while, we imagine Nketiah is going to be playing more games. So I think he could be an option. We had the question on the previous podcast about Hoyland, so please go listen to that one. Lewis, don't give anything away. We'll need to be getting people to listen to all these podcasts. About what we think of Hoyland playing away at Copenhagen this week. I currently have Luke de Jong up front, and I'm going to take a big hit this week, Lewis, just sort out my team.
Yeah.
Just get it over and done with. Pull off the plaster. I think Luke de Jong is a player that may, I don't know. He's at home to Lon. It's a home game. That's the thing. But we'll, I'll have to see. We'll have to see. Forwards for you, is there any that I've missed off, or are we just going to repeat the same forwards, Lewis?
No, I think you've covered the majority pretty well. Obviously, Kubo from Sociedad, again, he's probably worth a shout, isn't he?
At 5 million.
Yeah, nice little enabler. He got player of the match last game. He was really good. I mean, I can complain as a Bryce Mendes owner, but you know, he's so active. He's like all over them. So Kubo, nice little punt there. There's so many good forward options this week, isn't there?
My punt of the week, if I was to say punt, absolute punt of the week, I think he scored in the last game. I think we mentioned on the last game that you could get him. The only thing is, this person serially scores 5 points because he gets a goal and then gets subbed off. And that's Raspadori for Napoli. Playing at home to that terrible Union Berlin team. If you can't afford Kvaratskhelia, I think he could be a fairly decent little option up front at his price.
100%. A couple more little shouts. Obviously, we touched upon Porto in our last pod. Evan Nilsson, I think he's 6.9 million, scored a hat trick in the last match. And obviously they're playing Antwerp, who really can't defend. Probably one of the worst defences, I'd say, in the competition. So I think if Evan Nilsson starts the next league match, then he'd probably be a nice punt as well. I think Politano at Napoli, he seems to be playing well lately. I think he scored recently as well.
He's a winger, though, isn't he? Like, he's a forward on the game, but he's a winger in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously, it'd be tough not to mention Lautaro.
Martinez.
Yeah, I know. He is a nightmare, isn't he? I suppose Interplay away, which is less convincing, but Martinez seems in great form.
Genuinely think if anyone that listens to this podcast is thinking of or has already made the transfer of getting in Lautaro Martinez, my first question would be, have you sustained some kind of head injury over the last week? Because this is a person that continuously does well in Serie A.
He's a nightmare, isn't he?
And then as soon as he plays in the Champions League, he just turns into... he turns into someone that looks like they've never played football before, generally.
He literally does.
Cue a hat trick. But no, it's just funny. Obviously, I do another podcast with, Aaron, and he's been burnt a couple of times. He's like a big joke. Is the joke is on this podcast about me not owning Haaland for his 5 years of Leipzig. It was actually put to us on one of our podcasts for who had it worse, me with Haaland or him by picking Lautaro Martinez, blocking off Robert Lewandowski two seasons in a row.
It was
definitely him. Lewandowski was banging in hat-tricks and braces. And Lautaro Martinez was getting one pointers. So yeah, I think I said at the beginning of the season, I'd never advocate for going for Lautaro Martinez. This was the best form he's been in for years and years at the beginning of a season in Serie A.
Yeah.
It was the best chance anyone ever had of owning him and actually expecting some points back. But I do think that ship is firmly sailed away into the sunset and it's never coming back. So, Lewis, first of all, now that we've sort of finished all the positions, are you going to be playing a chip this week? What's your plans for the week?
I've got no chips left, Daniel, unfortunately, but I'm happy with that.
So, you've got no chips left. I also have no chips left. I am not happy with that. I am just drowning at the minute. And I'm not overly happy with my team. I would, if I was living in a world where I wasn't bothered about hits, I think I would take 6 or 7 transfers. So I'd probably take about 5 hits. That's obviously not going to happen. I am seriously considering taking up to 3 hits to just sort out the mess that I've got, to be honest. And I am looking at it really maximizing my strikers for the rest of the competition, looking to get in a midfielder for Thuram, and I'm looking to take out DeMarco, but I also have an Osimhen injury to handle. So I think I'm on at least 4 transfers at the minute.
Potentially Galano as well.
Oh, let's stop it, Lewis. Yeah, I mean, it's a good job I own Galino, not Galano, but so on that very dreary note, thank you everyone for listening. Please don't forget to give this a 5-star rating if you enjoyed it. If you didn't enjoy it, give it a 5-star rating as well. Give us a nice little comment as well. Again, you don't have to tell the truth. It's absolutely fine if you hated this and you still want to lie to show some lovely support. That'd be absolutely magic. You can follow us on Twitter at FantasyUCLPod. You can follow Lewis at FPL Reaction. You can follow me at UCL Fantasy Pod. Yes, I do appreciate that is confusing, but you should be used to it by now. And we will be back after the next round of fixtures where hopefully, you know, I might just go some actual points for once. Lewis, you can stop hoarding all the points. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye now.
See you later.
Podcast Network.